The following podcast is brought to you by the Station of the Cross. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Calling All Catholics, a program where you can ask a priest your questions on the Catholic faith or make a prayer request. We invite your call at 1-877-511-5483. You can also email us at cac@thestationofthecross.com or post to our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Calling All Catholics, a production of The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. I'm Steve Cabral, here for our Open Forum Tuesday edition of the program with Father Mike Mayer. Good afternoon, Father Mike.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Could you start us off, please, Father, with a prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving Father, we thank you for the gift of your daughter, the Blessed Mother, our Mother. We ask you to make us faithful as she was faithful, that one day with her and you we may reign forever in heaven. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Mike Mayer is from the Diocese of Rochester, New York. His weekly homilies are available on podbean.com. Just search for him at Intensely Catholic. That's on podbean.com. He's also very involved in the St. Paul Street Evangelization in the Rochester area. If you would like to speak to Father Mike Mayer today, if you have a question about the Catholic faith, give us a call or text us right now at 1-877-511-5483. That's 1-877-511-LIVE. Or you can email us, cac@thestationofthecross.com. Or post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Well, today, of course, is the very big feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a holy day of obligation out there, so if you're hearing my voice right now, you have no excuse.
Get thee to church.
You can come to my church, Saints Peter and Paul in Williamsville, New York, and you may hear my voice singing up in the choir loft 7 o'clock right after the show. I'm heading over there to practice. So hopefully you get to church today. So Father, let's get right down to the basics. Why was Mary assumed into heaven rather than being resurrected like the rest of us normal people hope to be?
She's the only one that was assumed into heaven, meaning that her body rose into heaven incorrupt. Our bodies will corrupt. For Mary, because she bore the child Jesus, she was the mother. She was the mother of God, and that's defined by the Church. We would say that theologically, in honor of her place in salvation history, because she did bear the Christ child, because she was the mother of God, she had this singular grace given to her, the singular gift of her body being assumed into heaven. Now, what the Church doesn't define, we don't know, did she actually die before she was assumed, or did she not experience a physical death? We don't know that, but we do know that her body was assumed into heaven. So I say to people, there are two flesh and blood bodies somewhere, and we're not going to go looking for them, but we have Jesus who is resurrected, so he has experienced the fullness of what we will experience, and the Blessed Mother in her physical form at the end of her life that was taken up into heaven. So we need to remember that, because I think we spiritualize all that, like, okay, this was a nice thing that happened to Mary, but and that's it. No, her body has been preserved because she was the vessel, the tabernacle of the Most High God. She gave birth to the God-man Jesus Christ. So again, this is a singular gift from God, and it says obviously much about Mary, about her fiat, her I do want to do your will, I do your will, Lord. But it also says something about us, that our bodies are important. A lot of people still kind of dichotomize, as some of the Greek philosophers did, the body's bad, the physical's bad, the spirit, the soul, is the good. But we wouldn't have a body without our souls. We wouldn't be a soul without our body as human beings. That's the definition of human being. And souled body, or incarnated soul. So it's telling us something, too, about the importance of our bodies in this life, and Of course, we believe in the resurrection when our mortal bodies will be glorified to be like Christ in glory, and they will participate in the new heavens and the new earth. So I always say to people in my homilies that these feast days are not just about something God did long ago. They are signs to us. They tell us something about the importance of what God is doing, and they have something to do with us. So we can't celebrate the life of the feast day of a saint without saying, oh, you know, I could be like that. In today's evening prayer, it said we've been given every grace in the heavens. So, yes, we can be saints. We can be like St. Francis of Assisi or St. Clare, who we celebrated last week, or any of the other saints. So Mary, of course, we would say, is the saint of saints. She is the queen of heaven. Again, there's a singular gift that God has given to the Blessed Mother, which again says to us human beings, your humanity, yes, you were created. In that sense, you're really nothing. But the Most High God loves us so much that he created us out of love, to be loved by him for love, and that one day he's actually going to let us sit at his right hand in glory to rule the universe. Now, you know, I don't think we think enough about that. But that's why we have a lot of these feasts, Assumption of the Blessed Mother, Immaculate Conception, or Feast of the Sacred Heart, Feast of Corpus Christi, Holy Trinity. They're to remind us that we are part of something cosmic, extraordinary, miraculous, that goes beyond our feeble ability to try to understand it. But we do need to keep sitting, especially in quiet, with these feasts and the scriptures, to really let them sink in, so that when we encounter things in the world like what's going on in North Korea and Charlottesville, Virginia, we're not suddenly thrown for a loop, but we go back to our faith and say, ah, this is what I was called to do. This is what I was created to be, and not to be pulled into the evil of the world.
Now, speaking of things miraculous, I did want to ask you about that story that we heard in last Sunday's Gospel, that famous story of Jesus walking on the water. Now, that image of walking on water, it's probably one of the most famous of his miracles, because, you know, we've been using that image even in our, you know, in our colloquialisms, you know, oh, that guy is so smart, so great, he walks on water, you know. You know, right. It's in movies and everything else. But to me, one of the interesting things about that story was Peter, of course, I love Peter. He's one of my favorites because I identify with him. You know, he attempts to walk on the water. You got to love him. And he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And then Jesus, I swear he must have had a huge smile on his face when he says to Peter, come, okay, come, you know. And knowing that Peter has this childlike faith and that he would probably jump right out on the boat and he's coming out there, but of course he's going to falter until Jesus then pulls him up. So what is the message we should take away from Peter's experience of trying to walk out on the water to Jesus?
Well, the typical interpretation, which most people bring up, which I think is absolutely correct, is as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. When he started taking his sight off of Jesus, he started feeling the wind. He starts seeing the waves, and then it gets into his own weaknesses, and that's where he's focusing. He's not focusing on Jesus. And I think it's a perfect lesson for all of us. When we start trying to figure things out ourselves, when we get into our heads, when we try to fix things our way, instead of keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord and waiting for him to lead us, as opposed to we're trying to lead him, then we get into trouble. And I think what's really wonderful about this story is where was Jesus coming from before he was walking on the water? Well, it says he went up to the mountain to pray, to be alone with the Father. He is saying to us, okay, you got to take time to pray. You got to be with the Father. You got to be with God. You got to focus on God, get away from the hubbub, and just sit there and do whatever you need to do to quiet down, to remember that God is our strength. God is the way, the truth, and the life. And I keeps coming back to me. Jesus was prepared to walk on the water because it was no big deal, because he had this intimate relationship with the Father. He knew the Father's will. He says, I do only what the Father tells me to do. Walk on water, walk on water. So there's this connection. Obviously, Peter had not been up on the mountaintop a lot or enough. He hadn't gone on a retreat. He hadn't taken the time to be with the Lord. And so he was learning, I have to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord. When that's, and I think that's true for all of us. I was just on retreat last week. And the minute I got on the property, it was like, oh my God, this is really what life is all about. It's all about God. It's about peace. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fix anything. I don't have to figure it out. I can sit there calmly, watch the tide come in and go out. I can listen to some music and just be at peace, look at the birds and enjoy them. So simple. So simple. And the retreat master that I had, he was actually from Buffalo, Father Francis Mary of the Friars of the Renewal. He gave a great image that someone had given to him, which I think is what's going on here. He said, think of a motorboat and think of a sailboat. Which are you? Well, I thought, I'm a motorboat. I want to get in that motor. I want to turn it on. I want to steer. And I think that's Peter, too. You know, I'm going to come out there, Lord, and show you that I got faith. And instead of, who knows if Jesus would have said, if Peter didn't say that, hey, Peter, why don't you come out and join me? And then what would have happened? But I think we're always trying to get ahead of the Lord, figuring things out. And when, in fact, if we stick to our faith, the scripture, the teachings of the church, and taking time to get away and turn off the technology and maybe not even open the Bible right away, but just to sit and kind of notice what's going on, I think we're going to find out there's a lot of junk getting churned in our minds and our hearts. And it takes time to let that kind of fall out so that we can hear the Lord speaking to us. So, you know, poor Peter, you know, had he been out in, you know, that night in prayer instead of out in the water, and the water was getting choppy, he might not have had a problem walking on water. And we can ask ourselves that too. Do we trust the Lord enough, keeping our eyes fixed on him, that we believe that there's really nothing we can't do if the Lord wills it? It may be we're going to walk on water for whatever reason, or maybe the Lord's going to say, I want you to raise that person from death to life. Well, do we have that faith? Again, it comes down to growing in our faith and our trust in God, and the only way we can do that is through prayer, especially the Eucharist, which we have. That's our corporate prayer, our communal prayer, but we need to take quiet time on our own, by ourselves, so that we can hear. And that goes back to the first reading from the weekend. Elijah goes to the mountaintop to encounter God. Well, God's not a very good C.B. DeMille, because he doesn't do it through the wind. He doesn't do it through the earthquake. He doesn't do it through the fire. I mean, that's what I would do if I were directing this movie. But it's this soft whispering sound. So if Elijah had not been attentive, if he had not been waiting upon the Lord, would he have missed the Lord passing by? Well, he didn't, because God said, go up there, I'll appear to you. And he was patient. He waited for that moment and heard God in that small whispering sound. But again, with all the noise in society today, do we hear, can we hear God with everything that's going on?
Quite a challenge these days.
Oh, it's more and more. It's more and more. And you read about how, in fact, somebody said we've lost a generation, young people, because of smartphones and the media. He's actually saying we've lost them. To bring them back to some kind of understanding of you don't need all that stuff, and your fulfillment is not based on your Facebook page or the likes you get, but rather it's something quite different. That's quite a dramatic statement to make, and it's frightening to think that.
Absolutely. Well, if you have a question about the Catholic faith for Father Mike Mayer today, we would love to hear from you. Here's the phone number. You can call or text 1-877-511-5483. That's 1-877-511-LIVE. Or you can email us, cac@thestationofthecross.com, or post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Let's go to our first listener question, and it comes from Andy. Andy writes to us, "My Protestant friend says that Jesus is the one, quote-unquote, mediator, as he said that no one comes to the Father except through me. My friend says that is why we Catholics should not pray to the saints, and especially Mary, who some Catholics actually refer to as a mediator. How should I respond to that argument?"
That's a good question, and you hear it all the time. Jesus is the mediator. All salvation comes through him. If it's a Hindu who never heard of the Lord and is saved, it's because of Jesus Christ. So God has created all of us in his image and likeness. He loves all of us. We have to remember that anyone has implanted in their heart that desire for God and the ability to pursue that desire. So, yes, Jesus is the mediator, but Here we have it. And the mediator, Jesus, what does he do in the Bible? He's saying to the 12 apostles, then the 72 disciples, go out and heal and preach. So here's the mediator saying to people, I want you to work with me. Now, it's still Jesus who's sending us out. He's still the mediator. He has all the power. But he can say to anyone, I want you to do to this, I want you to do that, I want you to go there. And before he sends into heaven, he sends us out, says, go out into the whole world and proclaim the gospel message to every creature and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, we're mediators with a small m. Now, we don't bring about salvation, but we have to announce it. And, of course, going back to the Blessed Mother, because of her position and her response to God, a wholehearted response, she plays a very special role in salvation history. She didn't make salvation happen, but she cooperated with it. And so if God says, well, my mother is blessed, I want you to honor her, I want you to see her as one who works closely with me, along with all the saints, because, again, the Catholic understanding of heaven is a very dynamic one. We believe that in heaven we will be, as one person put it, co-participants in the ongoing work of salvation. So it's not like we're up there, we're off to the side, and we're just watching. No, we're still active. Why? Because that's the dynamism of God's understanding of salvation. Salvation isn't, we just don't just get to some point in heaven and that's it, but rather, they have the ability to intercede on our behalf, to pray for us. So we have a very dynamic understanding. I think the Protestant view misses a lot of that, or has written out a lot of that, that the saints in heaven are active in our lives, especially the Blessed Mother. And it's because of Jesus, not because they have taken on something on their own, because of their power, but rather Jesus says, we are family. We are part of one divine family, and therefore what do human families do? Well, hopefully the good ones work together. So it's a very dynamic sense and understanding of those who have gone before us and those on earth, the church militant, the church victorious in heaven. We're working together. We're still one body. It's not a split body, those in heaven, those on earth. We're one big body, which is, as I say, a very dynamic understanding. So it's God who says, go out on my behalf, in my name, and do these things. So Peter couldn't have walked on the water if the mediator wasn't saying, this is what I want you to do, and then Peter steps out of the boat and does it. The same when we go and do the sacraments, celebrate the sacraments and pray. It's because we're told to do that, and we are working on behalf of God, and in a very real sense, we represent the Lord, and hopefully we're doing a good job of that so that we're drawing other people to Christ.
All right. Thank you, Andy, for that question today. We appreciate it. 1-877-511-5483 is the number to call to talk to Father Mike today. 1-877-511-5483. 511 Live. Or email us, cac@thestationofthecross.com. Or post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. We'll be back with more of your questions for Father Mike Mayer right after this. Stay with us.
In the privacy of their own cars or in the quiet of their own homes, listeners tune in and learn the truths of the Catholic faith, coming to a greater understanding of and a deeper love for Christ and His Church. Consider donating stock to the Station of the Cross to help us in our mission to bring the joy of the gospel to countless listeners. If you are being called by God to donate through a transfer of stock from your brokerage account to ours, please ask your broker to contact us at 1-877-888-6279. Your broker will need to indicate the number of shares being transferred as well as the CUSIP number of those shares. That's 1-877-888-6279. Thank you for considering a gift of stock to the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network so that we can continue proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.
This Divine Mercy reflection is from the diary of St. Maria Faustina. Do you sometimes find yourself to be critical or judgmental of others? Try these simple prayers of St. Faustina. Help me, O Lord, that my eyes may be merciful, so that I may never suspect or judge from appearances, but look for what is beautiful in my neighbor's souls and come to their rescue. Help me that my ears may be merciful, so that I may give heed to my neighbor's needs and not be indifferent to their pains and moanings. Help me, O Lord, that my tongue may be merciful, so that I should never speak negatively of my neighbor, but have a work of comfort and forgiveness for all. Help me, O Lord, that my hands may be merciful and filled with good deeds, so that I may do only good to my neighbors and take upon myself the more difficult and toilsome tasks. This Divine Mercy reflection is brought to you by the Station of the Cross.
Welcome back. You're listening to Calling All Catholics on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. I'm Steve Cabral here with Father Mike Mayer of the Diocese of Rochester, New York, for our Open Forum Tuesday edition of the program. And here at the Station of the Cross, we're also celebrating our 18th anniversary on the air, Solemnity of the Assumption in 1999. Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network began broadcasting when our first station went on the air. And since then, we've grown to include 9 additional radio stations throughout the Northeast, plus our live streams on thestationofthecross.com and iCatholicMusic.com, as well as our 2 very successful mobile apps, iCatholic Radio, the number 1 Catholic radio mobile app in the universe, and also our new iCatholic Music mobile app. So we'll hope you check that out. And thank you, all of you, for listening and for supporting us. I know, Father Mike, a lot of people probably don't know that the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network, we are 100% dependent on listener donations. We don't sell advertising. We don't get financial support from any of the dioceses in which we broadcast. We're totally independent and totally dependent on our listeners. So thank you very much for 18 great years, and we're still growing.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Father. If you'd like to speak to Father Mike today, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call right now, 1-877-511-5483. You can also text your question to us at that same number, 1-877-511-LIVE. Or email us, cac@thestationofthecross.com, or post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Our next question comes from Cindy. Cindy writes to us, "Our children seem to be picking up a lot of strange ideas being put forth by the LGBTQ movement. I know some of the parents in our school are already dealing with children who have some form of so-called gender confusion. Now, this was a total non-issue when I was growing up. If my child came home and told me he or she had some kind of gender confusion, What are your thoughts on the key messages I should relate to my child from a Catholic perspective?
Boy, that's a good question. And in this day and age, it's frightening how all the, I would say it's propaganda, brainwashing, for a reason to subvert the family and God's, basically God's narrative, the story God wrote for us, to change it. So I guess the first thing I'd say is be calm, go to prayer, take time in quiet in prayer and say, the Lord, this is really troubling me. This is what's on my heart. This is what's churning in my stomach. This is what I would like from you, Lord. Ask specifically what you'd like for it. And then thank God, because he's going to answer it. So to be patient. That's the first thing, because God is in control. He knows how he created creation. He knows how he created human beings. He knows how the story ends. We know it too. So we have to remember that. People can come along, and they've done that throughout history, even before Christ, trying to rewrite the story of God's creation of the world and what God intended and how we are to perceive ourselves through his eyes and what we're called to do. And so this is just another attempt to hijacked, change, however you want to put it, the story that we know from Scripture, which is the true story. And then another thing I would say, do some research on this. Theology of the Body Institute. You can go online for that. They have excellent, excellent resources, and they deal with this issue. I think it's TOBI Institute, or if you Google Theology of the Body Institute, they're located in, I think, Washington, Pennsylvania, but they're all about this, really, and they're not reacting to the LGBTQ movement and what they're trying to do, but they're trying to give Christians a very healthy, true understanding of sexuality, who we are. And I would say this. God created us either as male or female, period. As a man, your sexual orientation is masculine. It's male. If you're a woman, it's feminine. If within that I have a desire to act out sexually in a way that is not part of that basic understanding the way I was created, that's all it is. It's a temptation. It's an urge. And what the LGBTQ community has done, and others like it, is saying, well, you have that urge because that's built into you, either biologically, if you don't believe in God, or by God, and therefore pay attention to it, because that desire, that urge for fulfillment, intimacy, love, you need to follow it. So if you're a man and you're attracted physically to other men, you got to go that way if you want to be true to yourself. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. You're not going to find the fulfillment going that way. And even in, let's say, the heterosexual world, just going out and exploring sexually is not going to fulfill you. We know enough about suicides among young people and divorce, et cetera, et cetera. And they say, lawyers are saying one of the huge reasons for divorce today is pornography. Well, what are people trying to get through pornography? You know, they're letting that kind of gut feeling, which is just a gut feeling, that's all it is, decide for them where they're going to go and try and find satisfaction or fulfillment. And Christopher West, who runs the Theology of the Body Institute, uses this song from, I think it was the 80s, you know, we're looking for love in all the wrong places, we're looking for love in all the wrong faces, and that's what we're doing. But now we have actually this movement, and I think there's like many, many letters after LGBTQ, that's saying, oh, you know, it's all up in the air. It's choice. Go with the feeling. Go with the flow. That's a lie. That's a lie, and it's pulling people into deep unhappiness. Why? Because it's not based on truth. And you can get enough scientists and biologists and psychotherapists who are saying all that bit about changing your gender is not true. I think they say 95% of children who have some kind of gender questions when they're children, it takes care of itself over time. And the other 5%, well, the psychologist or psychotherapist would say, well, there is a problem here. It's an illness. It's not something that's a healthy thing. It needs to be dealt with so that the person can be healed. So if we want a full understanding of God's creation, we're not going to find it in these movements that say you can choose your gender, or it goes from this to that. Why not have many wives or many husbands, blah, blah, so forth and so on. That, we've been through that, of course, before. But to go back to the basic teachings of the church, study this, and there's plenty of science behind the church's teachings on all of this, so that you can simply say, you're either a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, and this confusion that you have, let's talk about it, but recognize that just keep focusing on what you were created to be, and with a parent's help, this will be taken care of. And also, I would say too, if you have any groups, maybe in your parish or the area, and I'm not talking about kind of self-help groups; they're very good. But at this point, I'm just thinking, you know, like we have in Rochester, the Catholic Moms of Rochester. You know, families that get together, a lot of them homeschool. And they support one another. They know where to go when they need support. You know, groups like that, it can be a prayer group. It can be a study group, a Bible group. Very good to get into those, because some of these issues can be dealt with in a very healthy environment where people saying, okay, let's not go with the flow, with what's coming up in the airwaves and what people are trying to sell other people. But simply to go back to the story that God has written for us and about us, which is the truth, so that we can help not only our children but ourselves navigate all this nonsense. Well, it's more than nonsense. It's evil. And as many people have been saying today, the family is being attacked. It is. The understanding of family as God created is being attacked, and we need to hold firm. But again, not to be upset, not to be tense, but to recognize God's ultimately in control, and we just need to follow him through this and to be faithful. So it's, you know, you look at the airwaves, it's like, oh my God, where is this all coming from? Where is it going to end? Well, we don't know. We don't need to know. But we know what the truth is, and to be faithful to the truth, and to keep learning more about it so that we can say to people who challenge us, no, wait. The story is this. There are men, they're male, female, et cetera, et cetera. And gently say that. Keep saying that. And invite people to see things in a different way, a healthy way, so that they will find fulfillment. And it's in Jesus. It's not in any movement or any demanding that I get to name the truth, but rather simply to accept the truth as God has given it to me, which is the fulfillment that I desire.
We appreciate the question today, Cindy. Let's go to the phone lines now, and we have Mike listening in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. You're on with Father Mike Mayer. Hi, Mike. Turn your radio down there, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, sorry about that.
All right.
Father, I just wanted to know, is every sin imaginable under the sun forgivable in the eyes of the Lord?
Yes. Now, of course, it does point out in Scripture, and there's debate on what this means, that a sin against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. Now, what does that mean? My own personal view on that would be we refuse to believe that sin is forgivable. You know what I mean? But
Father, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Is it also the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Refusal to believe in Jesus until you die?
Well, if indeed you do believe in Jesus, I would say if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in Jesus. I don't know what the intention of the individual is or not. I mean, if I know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but I live my life opposed to that belief, that's a sin. Now, at the last moment on my deathbed, I could say, oh my God, I have been wrong, forgive me, God. And we believe that God will forgive us. So, you know, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, again, you know, it's almost ironic that we even talk like that, because how can you blaspheme against someone that you believe is God? I mean, really, it's like a child trying to destroy a dragon by throwing a spitball at them. You know, the Holy Spirit's not going to collapse on that, and it's really the anger of the individual that's being acted out in a very foolish way. And hopefully they will see that and ask forgiveness for that and can be forgiven. So I can bless. And we have wonderful conversion stories of people throughout their lives who were enraged against the church and God and did everything to destroy the church and then underwent a conversion and became saints. So everything is forgivable. As I say, I've got to ask for that forgiveness. I think that's the key. If I don't want to be forgiven, God is not going to, do it against my will. That's the power that God has given us to make choices. I can say to God, no, no. And if I don't want God's forgiveness, God's not going to force it on me. But hopefully, I'm going to see the foolishness of my ways, no matter what I've done, and ask forgiveness. And God is always there. You know, it's the prodigal father. He's waiting. He's watching for us to come back to him and to say, I'm sorry. I'm not worthy to be your son, but I'm sorry. So rest assured that the Lord is willing and ready to forgive us no matter what we have done in terms of sin if we ask for forgiveness. Does that help?
Oh, yes, thank you.
You're very welcome, Mike. Thanks. God bless you.
Thanks for the call today, Mike. We appreciate it. Let's go now. This is a very important question now, Father.
Yes,
coming
yes,
up next
yes.
here for the day. We got a call from an anonymous listener, also in Rochester, New York, who asks, now, through no fault of my own, I arrived late at Mass today after the second reading. I'm concerned that I did not fulfill my obligation, and I would like to know if I need to find another Mass this evening.
Well, you ultimately have to make the choice, but I would say no, you have fulfilled the obligation. And I think the key phrase there is through no fault of your own. Your intention was there. You made the best attempt you could, and you got to Mass after the second reading, but you got there. So I would, you know, be relaxed. Well, I better not say relaxed. It may be too easy, but I think you've done your obligation there. You know, and next time, and I think now that you know whatever happened that made you late, you know, just be a little bit more aware of that and add in more time or pick a Mass that maybe is closer by or maybe after work, whatever.
It's interesting that sometimes we get that question, you know, people who are, you know, into the rules, you know, what's the
yes.
latest I can arrive
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and it still be, you know,
yeah.
you know, can I come in, you know, just before the gospel or before the homily or something? And it's
right. Well, in the old days, it was if you missed the gospel, you missed Mass. I remember growing up, they said, well, if you came in after God, that you didn't get your help, you know. So, yeah, but, you know, and then, of course, you ask about people who leave Mass right after communion. You know, they come up to communion, receive it, and
yeah.
right out the door. Well, that would bother me more than being late if it wasn't my fault, because that's something you can control unless these 35 people in the back of the church have to get home to feed their mother who is sick, which I doubt, but, no, you know, to leave Mass early without a good reason is, that to me is just rude, disrespectful, a bad example, and it's mind-boggling to me. I mean, if I tried that as a kid, my parents wouldn't have stood for it. No way. And I think most people that sit in the front two-thirds of the church stay till the end. It's always the last five, six, seven pews that when I process out, I'm thinking, what happened to all these people? Where'd they go? You know, it's like, and I sometimes joke with the ushers, oh, stand out there and tell them to get back in there. Mass is not done yet, and there's no good reason to rush out.
You know, having been in music ministry all these years, and you know, most of the time I'm up in the choir loft, and I have a perfect vantage point. I can see down there, you know, and it's... It's funny that it's often the same people. Always the ones that are leaving right after communion. So it's, you know, it's just their thing. It's just, it's not that, oh, this one time I had to go, I had an emergency and I had to go. It's the same people every week. They come to the same Mass. They always sit in the same spot and they're always gone right after communion. So I, sometimes, of course, I have to sing the final hymn. So I can't, I just have this temptation to one of these days just go, you know, catch one of those people on their way out and just ask, may I ask where you're going? You know, it's like, where are you going? Where are you?
The early bird special at the restaurant. You know, we got to get there before 6 o'clock. Well, I was told one time because there were several priests in the parish and the one priest was celebrating Mass and the other one was outside the church doors. Mm. So as they came out, he would look at his watch and say, oh, is Mass over with already? You know, to embarrass them. Or, of course, the proverbial, you hear it, put a sign that says, Judas was the first person to leave Mass early. You know, but again, I think people would take umbrage at that. They get, oh, well, how dare you? Well, wait. You know, this is, and I put it this way. If you're at Thanksgiving dinner with family, do you just get up and walk out when you want to? No, you're there for the whole day. Mm-hmm. No day, you know, and yet Mass is Thanksgiving every day if we go to Mass. So, you know, but again, comes on to catechesis, has to do with understanding. What are we really doing here? And I think a lot of people, especially cradle Catholics, we get into this rote way of doing things and habits, and we don't stop to think, and there's not a lot of challenge for us to think further than what we're used to.
Well, thanks again to our anonymous listener in Rochester for that question. I think it was nice of her to even bring that up. She was concerned. She wants to do the right thing. 1-877-511-5483. That's the number to call or text to get your question to Father Mike Mayer today. 1-877-511-5483. Or you can email us, cac@thestationofthecross.com, or post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. We'll be right back with more with Father Mike right after this.
In St. Faustina's diary, we read, true love is measured by the thermometer of suffering. Jesus, I thank you for the little daily crosses. Learn more about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy on one of our most beloved shows. Stream episodes of Divine Mercy in My Soul right on your iCatholic Radio app or download the podcasts at iCatholicRadio.com.
This is Father Peter Calabrese. Please join me in a prayer to St. Lawrence. O glorious St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr, who being subjected to the most bitter torments, did not lose your faith nor your constancy in confessing Jesus Christ, obtain in like manner for us such an active and solid faith that we shall never be ashamed to be true followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Have you visited our website today? We offer free on-demand podcasts, live streaming, and a complete programming guide. Find all of this and more at thestationofthecross.com.
In St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, we read, "Let your life be free from love of money, but be content with what you have. For Jesus has said, 'I will never forsake you or abandon you.'" When you trust the Lord with your money, He can do remarkable things. By donating in support of Catholic Radio's efforts to evangelize our world, your gift could be doubled. Many organizations offer gift matching programs for their employees' charitable donations. If your place of employment is one of them, be sure to take advantage of this opportunity in support of Catholic Radio and our evangelization efforts. May God bless you for your generosity to the Station of the Cross, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Calling All Catholics on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. 18 years strong going today, August 15th, starting from 1999. Boy, does the time fly. You're listening to Calling All Catholics, Open Forum Tuesday with Father Mike Mayer today. If you have a question for Father Mike today about the Catholic faith, we would love to hear from you. Still have some time left in the program. Call us right now, 1-877-511-5483. That's 1-877-511-LIVE. Or email us, cac@thestationofthecross.com. Or you can post your question on our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Let's go next to a question we got from Denise. Denise writes to us, I have a friend who was raised in the Greek Orthodox Church. She is engaged to a Roman Catholic. What would she need to do in order to practice her faith in a Roman Catholic Church?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. Actually, Orthodox Christians can participate fully in the life of the Catholic Church's sacrament. So an Orthodox Christian who has received First Communion, and most of them, vast majority, will receive it as an infant. They're baptized, confirmed, and given some of the precious blood right away. So they could actually start receiving communion from day five or six, whatever, after birth. So right there, if she wants to stay as a Greek Orthodox, she can do that and still practice fully in the Catholic Church. If she wants to become a member of the Catholic Church, all she would have to do is make a statement of faith, as people do who have been baptized in other denominations. At the Easter Vigil, they will say, I hold all that to be true, that is taught by the Catholic Church, etc., etc. Voila, they are Roman Catholics. So it's really very simple, however she wants to do it. I don't know how, if she wants to retain her Greek Orthodox membership, and not that she's cutting off anything, because many Greek Orthodox churches allow Catholics to commune there, but you would have to ask for permission. An Orthodox doesn't have to ask permission to receive communion in a Catholic church, but a Catholic would need to ask in an Orthodox church if it's permitted. Some do, some don't. So I think to talk to a priest about this, what she wants, how she wants to continue to practice her faith, and I guess the simplest would be to simply make a statement of faith in front of a priest in the Catholic Church, and then she would be a Roman Catholic.
All right. Thank you, Denise. Gee, that Greek Orthodox girl I met in school years back, I could have asked her out and it wouldn't have been a problem after all.
Well, back then, it wasn't quite so simple.
Well, all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Denise, for that question today. Let's go to an anonymous listener who asks, are Catholics allowed to request a private mass, possibly in their home or in a special place outside a church? Also, what are the rules for having mass outdoors?
Mm-hmm. That would be totally up to the local bishop, ultimately. Now, in Rochester, we can only have mass in a church, so we couldn't have a private mass. So, for example, occasionally I and other priests would celebrate mass at our pregnancy aid centers, and we can't do that now. We can do a prayer service, but we'd have to do mass in a church. Same with outdoor masses, particularly if we're talking about like a wedding or something. You can't do that. It has to be in a church. Now, however, and again, this would be up to the local bishop. I guess it would be on a case-by-case situation. If the parish has a parish picnic, and part of that is outdoor mass at the park or whatever, that would have to, I assume that would be done by asking permission from the bishop to have that. And I've been looking at the Facebook, et cetera. This is the time when I've seen a number of parishes in Rochester in the area who have been having their picnics, and they always begin it with mass. In fact, we did that Sunday at Seneca Park before we began the picnic part. So, again, it would be up to the local bishop to make that determination. But in St. Rochester, no private masses in the sense of at home. Again, unless there's a very, very special situation there and the bishop has approved, but the bishop is the one that would give that permission.
You know, growing up in the 60s, it seemed like there were some a lot of crazy stuff that was going on. We used to have, a mass maybe in at somebody's house.
Yeah.
And, someone would actually make the bread at home that would be used, for communion and those kinds of things. And, hopefully I don't see that stuff as much anymore.
No.
And I think I think that
was, a move to, kind of build close-knit community, small groups, that sort of thing. And obviously we don't have it today because it simply didn't. Well, I think in many ways it just died of itself, quite frankly. But today, yes. And we to abide by the rules so that we can fully celebrate the Mass, that's important. And again, the local bishop is the head of liturgy for the diocese. So he's the person that would have to approve of anything outside the ordinary.
Thanks for that question today, Anonymous. Let's go to a question we got from Catherine, who called in this question. It has always been my understanding that Jesus did not go through Mary's body when he was born, as she remained intact a virgin. I have also read this in St. Bridget's writings. When this was brought up at a family gathering, only one other person knew this. Where can this belief be found in Catholic teaching?
Well, if you go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, all that will be in there. What we say is, when we say that Mary was ever virgin, it doesn't mean that she did not give birth to Jesus. And of course, that's debated whether, in fact, she gave birth in the normal way of a woman, or if it was miraculous birth so that she didn't have, let's say, the pain or suffering of childbirth. Some will go either way on that. But she certainly gave birth. The child was in her body. It has her cells, just like we have our mother cells. So Jesus, in his incarnated form, had Mary's cells and certainly came from her. But when we say she was ever virgin, we say she never had children outside of Jesus, that she and Joseph did not have other children, so she always remained a virgin in that sense. So again, St. Bridget's writings and other writings, you have to go to the church. The church doesn't always define everything because we simply don't know, and there's a diversity of opinion. But as I say, when we talk about she remained intact, a virgin, we're talking about that she never had intercourse, for example, with a man. And Jesus himself was conceived through the Holy Spirit, not in the normal, natural way that we would talk about a child being conceived and born through a mother. And then actually, again, as I say, how she gave birth at that moment. Some people say, it was a miraculous, painless birth that left her physically intact. Others would say, no, she gave birth in the usual way, etc. So, we'll find out in heaven, obviously. But right now, we just have to... what's important is the fact that she is the Mother of God. She gave birth physically to Jesus Christ, who is both God and man.
All right. Thank you, Catherine, for that question today. Thanks for the call. About a little bit less than a minute to go, Father, we have this quick question from an anonymous listener. As we plan for the funeral of one of our family members, could you tell us who involved in the funeral mass should be paid? And that would include the priest, musicians, altar servers, and sacristans.
Simple answer. The parish will let you know what all the fees are. For example, if you want an organist, you would pay them a fee. Now, usually the parish takes care of all that in some way. So they'll let you know. They'll let you know what the fee is for the use of the parish, et cetera, et cetera. So don't just talk to the parish.
And also perhaps, I would suggest the funeral director also, because sometimes some of those, if there's a fee to the musician, it would be included in what the funeral director is charging.
That's true. Yeah, and the parish usually will have a good person who will be on top of all that. So many parishes have excellent funeral ministries, so just go to the parish and let them know what's going on.
Thank you for that question, Anonymous. Father Mike, may we have a final blessing, please?
On this great feast of the Assumption, may we be like Mary and always say yes to the Lord in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Mike.
You're welcome.
And thank all of you for listening today. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow for our Wednesday edition of the program when Father Robert McTague will be here with Gina. So tune in again tomorrow. Meanwhile, this is Steve Cabral for all of us here at the Station of the Cross, wishing you a very pleasant evening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Station of the Cross. The Station of the Cross is a listener-funded, nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please consider making a donation. Donations can be made through our website, thestationofthecross.com, or by calling 1-877-888-6279. You can also donate right through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app. Thank you for listening to and supporting the Station of the Cross, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.